Hello, this is Stephen Drozdyk, Director of Coach's Corner, and with us today we have Patty Branco. And Patty has a fascinating article entitled, Five Cheap and Easy Seminars to Find New Clients. And Patty, I know that all of our listeners are going to want to learn about cost-effective ways of bringing in new prospects and clients. So, why don't we start off and have you expand upon the article?
Would love to, Steve. Thanks for having me. The basic premise is that we spend a lot of time looking for one person, and it's just a major marketing ploy which every company uses, and that is appealing to more than one person at the same time. So seminars are a way to do that, and unlike seminars in the past, they don't need to be elaborate and the type of events that would take you completely off your game for a month where you're busy planning and having invitations printed and all that. These are quick and easy ways to attract intimate groups of people that you can prospect to all at the same time.
Okay, well, that sounds good. What's the best way to do it?
Well, the first thing to do is to, you know, if folks are reading the article, they can pick something that appeals to their sensibility. And keeping in mind, a lot of reps will be afraid to host a seminar because they think they're not talented enough or they think that they're not capable of standing in front of a crowd. When we talk about these easy seminars, they're really based on articles you might pull out or bringing a wholesaler in. But the idea of speaking to a crowd shouldn't be frightening to a rep because the minute they stand up in front of a crowd and they're well-dressed and they're presentable, they are then considered the expert and immediate respect is granted. So if anyone out there is afraid of doing a seminar, I encourage them to maybe go to a couple Toastmaster meetings or listen to a few tapes, but to get confident in the fact that just because of who they are and the company they are probably aligned with, they will be perceived as the expert.
Before we go on, I wonder if you would address a couple of issues. The first
Sure.
one being, Patty, what is the real purpose, from the advisor's point of view, of putting together a seminar?
Steve, there's many reasons, and it's not just to sell product or to sell services. Number one, it establishes credibility and gives that professional a chance to interface with people in the community or whomever their chosen audience is. It also gives them a chance to, you know, they say there's nothing like training in order to learn more yourself. And it actually helps them understand their business more because they're forced to do a little research and do a little digging. But it is ultimately to get a prospect or a client in front of you, but it does much more than that. It also helps you get a reputation in the neighborhood as an expert. If you're in a community where you're running ads in the paper every couple weeks, you become the community expert. They begin to know where they can go when they want some educational information on finance.
And you become a familiar figure.
Absolutely.
Sort of the trusted advisor. Who are they going to go to? Somebody that they've seen a few times or a nameless individual that's sending them a periodic mailing?
Correct.
Okay.
There'll be name recognition.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, John Brown, gosh, I know that name. Why do I know that name? Well, probably because they've seen it in the paper a few times.
Well, you know, that is the key that politicians strive to achieve, name recognition.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
The second question that I had before we delve into the different types of seminars is perhaps an expansion, if you would, of the old way of doing seminars and the new way of doing seminars and the fact that people got burnt out on seminars, but now they're starting to come back.
Very true.
I didn't quite appreciate all of the nuances that you were suggesting.
Very true, and very important point, in fact, Steve. And years ago in the 80s, I was in the business in the 80s, and sometimes into the 90s, the seminars were very fancy, lavish events. People would have them in hotels and be paying $75, $85 for a lunch for the prospects, and then dazzle them with a PowerPoint presentation with, you know, moving videos and all of that. And I think what started to happen is people just began to go for the free lunch. They weren't attracting the right person. I always say that, I mean, in fact, it was limited partnerships that were very active in this area, and insurance companies, single premium whole life, which isn't around anymore, they would spend quite a bit of money to court these folks, but it really began to get to the point where people, like I said, were just going for the lunch and they weren't really attracting quote-unquote qualified prospects or people who really wanted to do business with them. So I'm a proponent of having a simple, intimate event where perhaps you give coffee and a refreshment and or a refreshment because it's a nice thing to do, but not because you want to attract people to a meal, but they want to come to hear you or hear what you have to say or hear your speaker, and we're going to talk about all these different ways in a moment. That's much more appropriate. And right now in this day and age, it's also becoming popular again. I think the reason is, Steve, the baby boomers, there's 76 million of us out there. They're hungry for information. They've worked all their lives. They've accumulated pretty decent nest eggs. They want to make sure they're doing the right thing for their retirement. So you'll have an active audience out there that you may not have had 10 or 20 years ago.
All right. Thanks, Patty. Let's discuss the five different seminars that you bring up within the article.
Okay. I'd like to, Steve. I'm going to name them first. There's one I call a shareholders meeting, and there's another one called a power breakfast. One of my favorites is the roundtable forum, and then there's a client focus group, and the last one is been very successful with some of my female advisors, and that's an old-fashioned tea. So we're going to go through them one by one. There's a lot of similarities in them, but all of them are cheap and easy to put on and don't require somebody to be completely out of production for a month while they develop these seminars. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
The shareholders meeting, this one I actually did myself in the 80s, in the old days when we had to post in a book by hand. If somebody bought Franklin funds or American funds or Putnam funds, we actually had a page of the American funds by category, by class. So I could open my book and say, gee, I have, you know, 200 clients in the Franklin Income Fund. And we would have what we call a shareholder seminar. We would get an update from Franklin or Putnam or whomever the mutual fund company was, and I want to make sure I'm not selling any company here. I'm just using them as an example. And we would just send out a little postcard saying we're having an update on your fund. And it would be all the same people who had the same exact fund, so it was easy to talk to them, to speak to them, to give them an update. And then we would either get an update from the company or invite a wholesaler out to speak. And it was very, very simple. We would serve simple snacks. If it was in the morning, we'd have coffee and donuts or coffee and croissants, depending on the net worth of the client and, you know, the neighborhood. If it was in the evening, we would actually have a cold drink and some refreshments. And one time it was permissible. We even had wine and cheese tasting and had the wine and cheese complimentary from one of the local wine and cheese vendors. That was in San Francisco, and it was allowed at the time. I think since then they've probably, you know, taken alcohol off the table for these type of events. But at that time, that worked very well. This is really a nice way to invite somebody. It could be a telephone call. You have their number. They're already an existing client. You could send out a nice little postcard or letter following up with it if you have an assistant, someone to help you do that. And this is real simple. It can be in a branch lobby of the office. It could be in the library, local library. It could be in a church conference room. Most brokerage firms have a fairly large conference or training room. It could be held there. But the bottom line is simplicity. It's not elaborate. You don't need to do a major mailing. You could have these turnkey letters ready to go out with a date stamped in them. And it's very easy to plan and execute. And it's very comfortable because these are your clients. They're going to come in, how you doing, shake your hand. And here is the one question you will get over and over again if you do this. Can I add to that fund? Can I add more money to that fund? That is unbelievably common when you do a shareholder seminar.
Excellent idea.
Yes.
All right, let's deal with the next one then. Power
breakfast.
Well,
I keep saying these are my favorites, but I like all of them because they all work. This is the power breakfast.
But actually, Patty, don't you have a bunch of others?
I have a lot of them. But these are the five that are tried and true and done pretty frequently in different brokerage and bank and credit union firms.
Oh, okay, great.
I mean, these are the easiest to pull together. There's a few others that are variations or combinations of these, but I'd say this is pretty much the bones of the five cheap and easy seminars that work the best.
Okay, fantastic.
All right. The power breakfast. Now, what's different about this is these are usually professionals in the area, and they will probably be happy to come to an early morning event. And the gist of this is you have a guest professional who's trying to build their practice like you. So it would work like this, Steve. You find a CPA that's willing to come out. Maybe it's a fairly new CPA building their business just like you. You find a CPA that will come out and talk about the alternative minimum tax plan or Roth IRAs or estate planning, and you tell the CPA or other professional, it could be an attorney, it could be a CPA, it could be an IRS agent, it could be anybody, you say, I want you to have just 10 minutes. I want you to come up with a bit of a talk for 10 minutes because this is going to be sort of an open table, round table discussion. And Mr. CPA, you're going to be introduced to 10 or 12 of my very top prospects and clients. So this person is going to be thrilled to be face-to-face with 10 or 12 of your top prospects or clients. Then you get on the phone and you can call all of the people that you'd like to invite, people you may have been courting, people you may have been talking to but haven't quite, you know, done business with you yet, and you can invite them in to this power breakfast. So again, the speaker topic, here's some of the nuances. The topic should match the target market. For example, if you're bringing in a business crowd, you're going to want someone that can speak to their needs, their small business administration needs, their insurance needs, their accounting needs. If you're going to bring in a group of wealthy seniors or retirees, you're going to want somebody that can talk about estate planning or that will discuss how to make your retirement money last. And again, you want to keep it short so that you can open it up for a round table, because this is a very intimate group. They sit around this round table or this oval office table in your conference room, and they discuss what has just been delivered to them in form of this little mini presentation. You could have an optometrist, you could have a laser surgeon, you could have a plastic surgeon. Anything that would be interesting to a particular group of people, anyone that would be interested to spend the time with you in front of this group of people, and i.e. that's usually somebody who needs business as you do. And again, it gives you the chance to get on the phone and invite people to this event. So it really takes the cold out of cold calling if that's what you're needing to do to get business. And again, simple food, snacks, coffee, tea. You could have a Starbucks coffee there, which would be a little bit upscale coffee, and some croissants, depending again on the group of people. But it's real easy if you do have to cold call, and I know a lot of my broker friends in the industry still need to reach out to clients. This is a good way to do it and to have a warm call, basically, inviting them in to hear a local expert that they might like to hear speak about XYZ.
Boy, talk about a win-win situation for every single person involved.
Sure is. Sure is. And you do them on a regular basis. You know, you set them up in advance. You maybe have a laser surgeon 1 week, maybe you have a CPA 2 weeks later, and you have an attorney 2 weeks later, so that when you're calling people, if you say, I just thought you might be interested, we're having Dr. Maloney come in to talk about laser surgery, gee, I can't, but I'd love to come another time. Well, in 2 weeks after that, we're having the CPA, and 2 weeks after that, we're having this estate planning attorney, so you can get them pigeonholed into a different spot if you have several on the books.
Excellent.
Thank you. The roundtable forum is similar to the one we just talked about. This is one that I developed myself. I was out in the middle of a Sacramento area in a branch office that didn't have a huge residential neighborhood around it. We didn't have a lot of traffic in the area, and I had to figure out a way to get more people in front of me and to talk to. So every time somebody opened an account, I used to give them this little 5x7 sheet that said, join me either the first Wednesday or the third Wednesday of the month from 9 to 11, and we have a roundtable forum. And the reason for it is to get to know me better and to learn a little bit more about how I work. And it was really just trying to get people to come in and spend some time with me. These were clients that already had an investment or opened an account or sometimes good prospects, but I just made sure that everybody got one of these little flyers. And similar to the power breakfast, but you don't need to have a speaker. What I used to do is just cut out an article from the Wall Street Journal from the day before or something that might have been on the headlines relative to what they would be interested in, which in this case pretty much was investments or interest rates or, you know, government, Fed rates, bank rates, CD rates, all of that. And I would just print this out and say, this is what we're going to discuss today, and I would open the conversation, and it literally was just a roundtable discussion on why rates were dropping, why rates were going up, all the different nuances about investments. And it got to be where it was so big I almost had to stop, because people were bringing friends, and they were coming every other week, and they were getting to feel like it was sort of an investment club discussion type of an arrangement. But it's a nice way to reach out again to your prospects, to let people know who you are, to get them to trust you even further, because that's what relationships are built on. You get to know me, I get to know you. We get to have more mutual respect for one another, and thus business grows and relationships deepen. And so that was really the purpose of the roundtable forum. I would actually, when I had lunch forums, I would go to the store and buy maybe 8 sandwiches, and then I would come back and cut them in quarters. So they were like finger sandwiches, you know, a thick sandwich, but a quarter of a sandwich, and we'd serve coffee or cold drinks in the morning again, coffee and croissants or donuts or cookies, sometimes a fruit plate. If I had a good turnout, I used to put RSVP on there so that I actually used to put RSVP, would you prefer a bagel or a pastry? And I had both always, but this way they would be forced to RSVP because it came to food, you know, that old foodie creeping out again. And again, conference room, local library, church, I always had it in our branch office, and there was plenty of room there because, again, we're not looking for 30 or 40 people, Steve. All these last 3 that we spoke about, we're looking for 8 to 10 interested clients or prospects.
Again, yep. Another excellent idea. Thank you.
Yep. And this one, you really become the community expert, especially if you're in a small rural area, farm community, and you're doing this on a regular basis. It will spread. I was just at this roundtable breakfast, and Patty Bronco was talking about why rates go down. I never understood this, and here's the article we read, and we talked about this, and, you know, it's that kind of thing, especially, like I said, in a small community. All right.
Excellent way to market.
Thank you. Client focus group is number 4. Now, client focus group is a little bit different in as much, Steve, we're asking a person to come in to a research project that we're doing about investment practices. And this has to be genuine. It's a focus group. We're going to say we want to know when are people retiring and how do they feel about their retirement assets, and the real specific questions that we're going to develop, and I don't have them at the tip of my tongue right now, but it would be a research project about XYZ. And we are going to find prospects and clients to come in and talk to us about this. So we would set these questions together and then present them to the group. We'd have a PowerPoint presentation. This is a little bit more dramatic. And it might be 10 questions about what a participant expects or needs from an advisor, for instance. Give me 10 things you would like to see from your financial advisor. And we would rate them and score them and come up with actually a report. And then we would share this report not only with the focus group, but perhaps with the company or with other people involved in our business. But again, what are you doing? You're standing in front of somebody. You're looking like the expert. You're really looking for some solid information. It can't be fluff. And these are real common in financial institutions where they're trying to determine what do people want. Do they want no loads? Do they mind paying a sales load? You know, what matters to them about their money and all that. And they're very successful ways to, number one, build rapport, build credibility, and again, get in front of people that eventually might use your services. Again, coffee, cold drinks. This needs even less, actually, than the other seminars. Just drinks are usually sufficient, water and sodas, coffee in the morning, maybe tea. And again, telephone calls, followed by a business-like letter explaining why you're doing the research, and maybe an advanced list of questions to ponder for those that RSVP. I wouldn't send them to everybody. I'd make sure they were definitely coming, and then I'd send them a list of questions that you're going to be asked. And a lot of people, by the way, tape this. They record it, so they have this on tape. So that's the client focus group. Again, small, intimate, a little bit more work involved because you have to develop the questions and the research platform, but it's a great way to build your business.
And I can even see how that would be a great way to get the clients as really strong advocates, because as they're helping you build the business by giving you advice and information, they're essentially becoming part of your board of advisors, and
very
by
true.
Definition, now have an emotional attachment to you to help you build the business in the first place.
Excellent. And now you've got me thinking about another seminar, build a board of advisors. What a great idea. Advisors for the advisors.
Great minds think alike.
Excellent, excellent. This last one, Steve, is really, I was coaching a gal on the East Coast, and she came up with this through an idea from a wholesaler. And she took pictures and shared them with me, and I tried to find them for this article, but I couldn't. When you walked into their conference room, there were white tablecloths that she had rented on round tables that seated four people each. And on each table was a candle and a little bunch of flowers, and they had the tea and coffee service in silver. It was beautiful. It looked like a little cafe in France somewhere. And they had one of the wholesalers speak, and the wholesaler, by the way, sponsored this. Now, of course, this was sort of a female-type event, but it could be for men, too. I'm sure that if she continued to do this, men and women would come together. But it was just a lovely environment, and she served finger sandwiches and French pastries, coffee, and tea, but very tiny little finger foods. You know, wasn't anything elaborate where there was no need for plates or forks, just napkins and these finger foods and the drinks. It was wonderful. It was an atmosphere that she set that was quite different than what people are used to. She rented the napkins and the tablecloths, and the wholesaler paid for most of that, and they will or won't sometimes. It just depends on your relationship or their budget or if they're even allowed to do that. The invitations were nicely printed, but what she did was have a couple hundred printed at the same time, so that saved money, and the date was not filled in, so she could write it in by hand. Now, she actually wrote it in a beautiful script, you know, the kind of...
like a calligraphy or something.
Calligraphy script, yes. So it was just lovely, and she addressed them all by hand because, once again, the one thing I like is cheap and easy. I think she had about six tables of four, and so it was very close and intimate, and people were close enough to chat with one another, but it was just lovely. It created an atmosphere, and she had, what I understand, continued to do this on a monthly basis.
Boy, that I like that idea, too. What a great list of ideas that you've provided. Thank you.
You're very welcome. But, Steve, the bottom line is, mass marketing. If you're going to do a spiel or if you're going to do a presentation and you've got your presentation down and you know your stuff and you're knowledgeable and you're strong and you're ethical, why not do that presentation to 12 people instead of to one person? That's my feeling. It's so tough in this business. All channels of business have so much paperwork and so many regulatory layers to be concerned with. If you're going to do your prospecting, the best way to do it is mass marketing. So cheap and easy seminars, put them on your calendar. They shouldn't take more than a couple hours of your time to plan or your assistant's time to plan. And it's a great, great way to meet people, to meet other professionals, to network with people in your community, and to get the business that you need to be successful. One more thing. After you've done these seminars, if you're just doing the seminars and you're letting people slip away, you're probably wasting your time, even though you're not spending that much time on planning them. So here's how you harvest these seminars. Whichever seminar you choose, every one that we mentioned today, when the people walk in, there should be a card on their seat. And when you start your seminar or your introduction or your chat or your roundtable discussion, you say, by the way, you'll notice there was a card on your seat. It has name, address, phone number, and a box, do not call me or please call me. I promise you, if you check do not call me, I will not call you, but I do need those for the NASD and regulations to show who I was speaking to. So please take a moment, fill that card out, and rest assured I'm not going to call you unless you ask me to. Now, halfway through the meeting, again, you remind them in case there were a couple latecomers, you mention the same thing again, I just want to remind you there's a card on your seat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the seminar, at the end of any one of these seminars, you say, I promised I'd finish on time. It's X o'clock right now. What I'd like to do is I'm going to go to the door so that I have a chance to say thank you and greet everybody as they leave. So, again, I'll pick up the cards. Now, if they've asked you any personal questions during the seminar, then you say to them, write a note on the back of your card, and I will call you with that answer. So at the end of the seminar, the important thing is that you exit, stand by the door, shake everybody's hand, and thank them for coming. Why do I say that? Is because I have seen it happen over and over again. Three or four people are just so hungry to talk to you, they flank you at the front of the room, and the rest of the people drift away without so much as a goodbye. So this little card allows you to stand by the door and make sure that you thank everybody, you take the card, you eyeball to eyeball, shake their hand, and you have the chance then to at least interface personally with everybody before they walk out that door. And that's how you harvest your seminar. Make sure you'll see people check no, do not call me, and by midway through your chat or getting to know you, they'll cross that out and they'll check call me. So that is your tool for harvesting your seminar and making sure that you have a chance to follow up with somebody if they would like you to follow up with them.
Patty, before you go, you have this one section of the article, the very end of the article, called Final Thoughts. However, as I look at those final thoughts, I'm realizing that each of those bullet points could be a talk in and of itself. So rather than asking you about each and every single one, would you pick two or three that you think are of vital importance to our listeners?
I sure will, Steve, and that jumps right out at me. The first bullet, keep it simple and only do a lavish meal if you are courting a group of prospects that don't need that free meal. Again, don't make it about the food, don't make it about the elaborate planning, but keep it simple. That's the most important one, one of the most important ones. The third button, consider Toastmasters to refine your presentation skills, another very important one. You don't have to be Tony Robbins, but you really do have to be articulate, be able to convey your ideas concisely, succinctly, not rambling. That's another important one. So if you're going to do this, visit a couple Toastmaster classes or meetings, I should say, they're not classes, and practice a little bit. And the last, and this probably is the most important one, is to follow up on information requests within 40 hours or the opportunity will fade. Within 48 hours, those cards that you have in your hand, touch base with those folks, even if it's just, thank you for coming. I know you asked for more information. I'll be getting that to you shortly. I just wanted to contact you and let you know I got your request, and thank you for being there. Now you've made a connection, even if it's on a voicemail, and those people will be warmer and more receptive when you do get around to finally calling them with information. But touch base in 48 hours, one way or the other.
Okay. Patty, thank you very much. That was very, very helpful.
My pleasure, Steve. Very enjoyable. I love the opportunity you give me to do these chats with you.